Father, we come to Thee seeking for divine assistance, that we may, as Your ambassador, speak according to the oracles of God. We would pray, O Father, that not only so, but that You would bless in such a way that the word of the Lord would find lodging in the hearts of all who hear. We know that there is nothing impossible with You. We know that by You all things consist. We know that You can take whatever You so please and so desire to move on the hearts of men. But we also know, Father, You can do it immediately by Your own divine power and wisdom without any intervention, without any, and I use the word reverently, assistance from men. Not that we can assist You in anything, though You do use means for various reasons and various occasions. And so we ask that You would bless us to have our hearts and our minds focused upon Thy holy word for a short time, that we might distance ourselves from the world, from our own vain imaginations and reasonings, and that all of these high thoughts will be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This instrument is only an instrument of clay, and You have put the treasure in such vessels that the excellency of the power may be of You and not of us. So we would ask in Your divine mercy that You would condescend and tabernacle among sinful men, and through the operation of Your Holy Spirit, cause us to be directed aright. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your Bibles turned to three passages. James chapter 1, Luke 21, and Ephesians 4. Give you a second to at least put your finger in the first one. You might even get it to the second one before I start reading. The full title, though I'll try to shorten it a little bit so we can get it posted right, but the full title is Understanding Difficult Times and the Dangers. Short title might be Dangers in Difficult Times. But understanding these dangers in difficult times. We all have difficult times in various ways and in various things that come in our lives. We need to understand those. First of all, in James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Luke chapter 21, and I've got to turn there because I didn't. Luke chapter 21, and I will begin reading verse 16. kind of get a little bit of the context. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Other places it talks about husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, and all of that. So don't think any one of these is exhaustive. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. And here's the passage I wanted. In your patience possess ye your souls. Talking about in difficult times, possessing your soul in patience. That's what the idea is there. And then in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Understanding difficult times and the dangers. As long as we live in this world, we're going to be living in a sinful world, in a sinful body, and we're going to face difficulties daily. In fact, the greatest difficulty that one has to face is self. The greatest difficulty that one has to face is self. And much of the things that happen to us simply is due to our own sinful ways. Not all things, but much of the things. Modern society has been deceived into thinking that we shouldn't have to go through difficulties. The Spock years, and somewhat before and much afterward, have the idea that children should not have to go through difficult times. And therefore we have a generation of society, or a generation in this society, that thinks that everything ought to go smooth. We've got a whole bunch of adults that think that we ought to have things easy and everything ought to come our way. And that if there are trials, then something's wrong. And if we had time, we would probably go into the life of Job somewhat. The truth is that good people and bad people have trials and difficulties. That's the truth of it. Good people and bad people have trials and difficulties. God never promised to anyone that life would be easy. He never promised that to anyone. No one is promised that. Isaiah 43 teaches us that God's people live in the fire and in the flood. But it also teaches that the believer is different from the unbeliever. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 17. The sheep of God are a living example to the world of what Christianity is all about. We cannot force the world into Christianity. We can't even force ourselves into Christianity. John 17, Jesus said, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." We are to live in such a way that the world is convinced that God sent Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? We are to live in the world in such a way that the world may be convinced that there is something different about us and that God did send Jesus Christ. We are not just another religion on the globe. In schools, in colleges, in institutions throughout the world, there is such a thing called comparative religion. And where people get together and they dialogue about religion and try to focus on their agreements and their talk about their differences, and everybody get up and walk away and none the better. There is one religion that is true, and that is Christianity. But the Christian is not exempt from trials and difficulties any more than anyone else. But he is to behave himself in a different way in trials and difficulties. We are commanded by our Lord to be faithful to Him regardless of the cost. In Acts 5:29, I won't turn there. You've heard it plenty of times. You ought to know it. Where Peter stood before the Jewish leaders and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Now, he didn't say we ought to obey what we think. He didn't say we ought to obey what we feel like. But we ought to obey God rather than man. How do I know what God wants me to do? It's in the Word. The three Hebrew children stated before that pagan king, they said, "We don't know whether God will deliver us or not, but we know that He can. But we're not going to bow down to your false worship. We're not even going to give any time to your false worship." Daniel, the decree was made, you don't pray to any other god but the king. Daniel didn't say, "Well, I'm going to show him. I'm going to start praying." Daniel didn't do that. He had already been praying. He didn't just start up something and be foolish and mean-spirited about it. He just kept on praying to the God of heaven at the risk of his own life. Those are not just children's stories for idealistic purposes. They are examples to us. And even as we read here in Luke chapter 17, or 21, excuse me, where our Lord said that we would go through trials. But then He says, "In patience possess ye your souls." Now there's something said about that that condemns me greatly. I would suggest that it probably condemns most, if not all. But I know it condemns me. You can be in possession of your soul. You can be in possession of your soul. There's something that I'm trying to think of, and I don't know what it is that I'm trying to think of, but it makes a good point if I could think of it. It was something that happened this past week, I believe, where something was said in such a way that even proved, oh, I know what it was. It was talking about this insane man on the news, this man was bipolar, I believe what they called him. And therefore he could not help doing what he was doing. And he'd go into this rage at home and in danger to the family and so on. He was bipolar. And they were having a difficult time getting him the psychiatric treatment and the psychological treatment that they wanted him to have, because every time the police showed up, he wasn't bipolar. In other words, he could handle it. He could take possession if he wanted to. That was my point. And I thought, how ironic that they could not see that. That they could not see that. He's bipolar. He's not in control of himself. Except when he wants to be. When he realized he might be carted off to jail and have to stay there for a while. In patience, we are to possess our souls. There are some things that I fly off the handle about. That's not bragging. That's not to my credit. But I can also say, and I'm not trying to justify my sins, I'm saying I do not know how to sort it all out sometimes. There are some things that make God quite angry. And it's usually those things that are contrary to the Word of God that makes me angry. But not always. Some of it's just my stubborn sinfulness. Understanding difficult times. James tells us a reason for difficult times. Notice what he says back in James chapter 1. He says, "Let patience have her perfect work. The trying of your faith worketh patience." The trying of your faith worketh patience. What is patience? We have the attitude most of the time that patience is kindly an indifference. The Hindu walking on nails or sitting on or walking on hot coals, that he kindly has a patience to take it. Well, that's not patience. Not in its fullest sense. The word patience, if you were to look it up, it is endurance. Endurance. I have been told that when someone wants to make a musical instrument, that they want to get it from wood that has been well seasoned. That is, wood that has weathered the storm. The trees that have stood there when the winds have blown, and as it continues to weather the storm, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And therefore, it is such wood that is useful or makes the better instruments. I don't know. I've never made one. I've just read. I'd hate to try to make one. But it makes a good illustration that it is in trials and afflictions that the Christian keeps going on. Why is it you haven't given up? I've wanted to give up many times. In fact, I almost didn't even preach this morning for wanting to give up. I just asked, pray for me. But the Christian is to continue to go on. He's to go on. He doesn't have the right to stop. He only has the right to humble himself and to submit to the Word of God. Because the trial of his faith, notice it's the faith that God has worked in the Christian that is tried. He doesn't try the individual per se, because if he were to try us per se in our own selves, none of us would stand. This word patience in the New Testament describes the characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety at even the greatest trials and suffering. It matters not what comes. He's going to continue in the path that God has marked out for him to trod. He doesn't have the right to sit down on the side of the racetrack and stop. And heaven knows, we all want to stop many times. Sometimes at the slightest provocation. Sometimes at the greatest of provocations. How one responds to trials is a mirror of our soul and the condition of our faith. What do you see when you walk to a mirror? You see an image of yourself. You see what you are. Most of the time, we look at ourselves and we walk away with a different picture than what we've seen in the mirror. For years, and sometimes still, when I think of myself and what I look like, I hardly think of me with a beard. I've had this thing for, I think, since 85. What is that, 20 years? I'm beginning to sometimes. But when you come face to face with trials and afflictions, you get a good image of what's in your soul. Trials, how we respond to trials is a mirror of our soul and a condition of our faith. Now, God does not give us an opportunity, or excuse me, an option as to whether we should rejoice or not. You say, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? Your soul is being tried. Your faith is being tried. And you're to rejoice. What is there to rejoice in? There is much. Peter and the others rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. Think of that. They were made a public shame. You ever been humiliated in public? You ever made just a plain fool out of yourself? And then, have you ever had someone to publicly humiliate you? I can tell you from experience, it is no joy. For someone to get a crowd before you and literally chew you out. I've had that to happen on more than one occasion as a result of the ministry. The apostles were made a public shame, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Can you do that? I didn't ask, do you want to? Nobody wants it. Now, they didn't say, Lord, boy, we thank You for that beating. They didn't do that. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame. How did they make a shame out of our Lord? They took every bit of His clothes off. Every bit of His clothes off. Not one stitch of clothes was on Him. And then they hung Him up out in the public and poked fun at Him. But for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. And He said just before that incident, the night before that it happened, turn with me to John 13. Excuse me, John 16. The night before it happened. Just before this high priestly prayer in John 17. Remember John 13, 14, 15, 16 all took place that night, along with 17, 18. But He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But then, a few verses before that, in verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And also this same night, there was another passage. I thought I could put my finger on it or my eyes on it right quickly. He said that He spoke these things unto them that they might have His joy. He's talking about joy, and He's fixing to go and be publicly humiliated. And James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's not an option, because the word count is in the imperative mood. It's a command. One place where it talks about people lying about you, that you're to jump up and down for joy, leap for joy, it says, when you're being persecuted for Christ's sake. And there are many other passages that I have listed. You remember Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail that night, chained in the stocks, singing and praying after they had been beaten. Beloved, I submit to you these are not pious platitudes for consideration. They are real experiences of Christians that are given to us to teach us how we are to take difficult times. You say, but mine is different. It's not the same. The principle, a right principle, fits all occasions if you have the principle. As long as you're not mixing the oranges with the apples. What are we talking about? We're talking about difficult times and the principles of how to endure difficult times. Paul also gave us some understanding about it in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. That's not another pious platitude. That's not just a good saying. This is the divine inspiration of Holy Scripture. And it says the Christian glories in tribulation. Why? Read on. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Trials produce that stick-to-itness. He that cuts and runs in times of difficulty is not faithful. And patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Are you ashamed of Christ? Would you like to have experiences to talk about how God has helped you and blessed you? Do you want patience? Well, it says tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I hardly read this passage, but what I think about a minister that I've mentioned to you before, Elder Charles Talley. And he said this on more than one occasion, and he wasn't trying to be funny, though there's, most people thought there was a bit of humor in it. But he said he went to the Lord and he asked the Lord for patience. And he said all of a sudden things started happening. And finally he went back to the Lord and he said, Lord, I don't want that much patience. How much patience do you want? How much experience do you want? How much hope do you want? I wished I could have remembered to have brought my Gatsby hymn book. There is a song in there that is quite apropos to the message this morning. that has the idea that the hymn writer, that he prayed to the Lord and he asked for patience and he asked for growth and so on. And in essence, it come down to he finally realized that he was getting what he actually prayed for. You must understand these things, and you must know these things, and you must hold on to these things when difficult times come, and understand that there is a reason. No, you don't jump up and down and rejoice that you're hurting. But the cause is not causeless. It didn't come by a fortuitous concourse of events. It came through the providential dealing of a sovereign, loving God. And He said, you have this. And you can ask why from now till the Lord returns. And He may not give you an answer. That's the reason, one of the reasons, we as parents ought to teach our children to obey without question. That we, when they grow up, they might better obey God without question. I was on the tail end of a generation that obeyed without question. These trials further leads us to hope of the glory world to which we are ordained and causes us not to be ashamed to live for Christ. You've got to understand that. We're talking about understanding difficult times. Understanding difficult times. There are some dangers in difficult times. There are some dangers in difficult times. There's a place in, I think, 2 Chronicles. I don't know that I could find it. But it has to do with, if I remember correctly, Hezekiah. And he had prospered quite a bit. And it said that the Lord forsook him that he might know what was in his heart, or words to that effect. It wasn't that the Lord needed to know what was in his heart. Hezekiah needed to know. One of the things that we need to, and what Hezekiah did, by the way, the enemy came in and Hezekiah showed the enemy all of his riches. And the Lord said, you've done a mighty foolish thing. Because in a few years later, the enemy came back and took all of the riches. One of the dangers in difficult times is forgetting God, focusing upon ourselves. We must realize that there's a greater picture than me. And yet, aren't we all so in love with me? There's a greater picture than me. Without an understanding of why we face difficulty, we will react selfishly by focusing on ourselves and consider what is happening to us personally. It's just human nature to do so. I'm not trying to point out and say that you are not Christian or you are doing a horrible and terrible thing or you lack spirituality or any such thing of that. It's a common enemy to us all. Christians have pity parties. I dare say last Wednesday night when about every 15 minutes Brother Tommy was throwing up, he was saying, "Hallelujah." Wondered when the next one was going to stop and be the last one. God gives us many injunctions as to how we're to act and not react under certain circumstances. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read that again. Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Now the word communicate sometimes means giving. Like when Brother Michael was speaking last Wednesday night about how that the church at Philippi communicated to Paul once and again of his necessities. What did they do? They dug in their pockets and gave him money. But here, this word communication is a different word. It is the word that is normally translated word. And therefore, for our purposes, we might say today, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. What do we normally say when something comes our way that is not good? You may say one thing, I may say something else, someone else may say something differently. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Now for the non-Christian, it's usually a curse word. It might even be for the Christian. The Word of God says, don't let it happen. I've tried to break myself of all words, and usually the one I use is rats. Why that? I have no earthly idea. But the Scriptures say, let your yea be yea, your nay, nay, and anything else is evil. That's what the Bible says. Now, when you try to quote that to someone, they usually say, well, you just don't understand, or this or that or the other. I'm afraid I do. We are not to let corrupt words come out of our mouths, but we're to let words come out that build up others, that it may minister grace to the hearers. But I'm hurting! I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm hurting! That's the reality of it. There are a few people I've seen undergo extreme trials and sickness and afflictions. And it was not only witnessed in myself, but it was witnessed by the families that were with them day in and day out for years, that they never heard that individual complain. One I'm thinking about now, I don't know that any of you ever knew her, may have, was a member at Whitehaven Church, Catherine Huckabee. I first met her, she was in a wheelchair. The last time I saw her, she couldn't move anything but her eyelids. And that was over a period of 10 or 15 years. Her husband, her children, her in-laws, all testified to the same thing. They never heard her complain. But most of us is, I'm hurting. You say, but I can't do that. No, you can't. Not in yourself, but in God. We must understand difficult times. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily the people dying with cancer and people like Sister Huckabee. I'm talking about just little everyday things. He said, but Brother Jimmy, you don't understand me. I don't have to understand you. I can understand me. We're not to allow, verse 31. Well, let's look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If we can keep our lives focused, that I should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you can keep away from self and everybody else and focus on the Holy Spirit of God, I don't want to grieve. I don't want to grieve the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that is sustaining me and nurturing me at this time. And sometimes you will have to say words to this effect. Father, I want sympathy. I'm mad. I'm angry. You might even say, I'm angry at you. And I need help, and I need grace, and I need mercy in time of need. That's in Hebrews. You say, well, I've never been angry with God. I have. And I believe if you were honest with yourself, at times you have been too. You just didn't want to admit it. You had too much stinking pride. I'm trying to talk about where we live, who we are. You can't do it alone. You need God, you need His Holy Spirit, and you need to do whatever it takes not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but when you do, you need to flee to Christ. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why did Paul write this to the Ephesian saints? Because those saints were troubled with it. This church that was so strong in doctrine that when our Lord wrote to them in the book of Revelation, He said, you have tried those which say they're apostles and found them wanting. Be kind from the heart, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Maintain a spirit of forgiveness, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These are some dangers in difficult times. Beloved, we live in a danger zone every day of our lives. But when God turns the heat up and allows the trial to come our way, we are in the trenches. The rockets are flying all around us. The mortars are landing on every side. The enemy is flying over with their bombs. We need God, and we need to draw nigh to Him. And we need to realize that we're in danger of blowing apart. But I would remind you again to be quick to remember that we have an advocate with the Father who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have an advocate with the Father . We have a high priest which can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I left the two knots out. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:15 and 16. And I would point you again to another one in James, where we began in James chapter 1. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. We've come full circle. You must understand difficult times. They're there to give you that what is needful to keep on going. But you must understand the dangers of difficult times. We all face them. We all blow it at one time or the other. Some maybe more than others. We need God. We need to continue to flee to God. We need His Word. We need to continue to flee to His Word and receive it and receive it and receive it. Let us pray. Father, in my mind, it is quite clear of what you have told us and how you have told us to live. Yes, it is heartrending. It is with great trials that we have at various occasions. You have not minimized the trials. Oh, we would, O God, that You would take them away. And we're quick to pray what You've told us. Deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into evil. But we would also pray, our God, whatever You do, don't leave us. Don't leave us to ourselves. Keep us by Your right hand, that we may glorify Thy holy name. Amen.